What is up, ladies and gentlemen? It is episode 26 of the Alt Review Podcast. I am GP, of course, joining me, as always, from Corpus Christi, Texas. Michael Latore, what is up?
La 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 la, I'm as full as a tick. I'm working on my vocals. What up?
What the hell?
I just think of new inventive ways to weird you out.
To make me say what the hell?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. You win. You got me again this week.
Yeah.
So, what's up, man?
Not much to crack-a-lackin'. Just living the dream here in Corpus. Excited about this band we have here tonight. So, had an opportunity to see these guys live. They're called The East and The Crow. And seen them play at the House of Rock here in Corpus Christi, Texas, once or twice. And they're an alt country act. They're absolutely fantastic. And we're really excited to have them. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
We're good. How are you guys doing? We're great.
Awesome. What'd you jump back there for? I might have your volume turned up a little bit. There we go. I got you fixed now. So we chatted just a little bit before, but of course we left all the interview questions out. I'm going to jump right in. Guys, tell me, how did The East and The Crow come to be?
I started writing songs quite a few years ago. Well, I didn't write songs. Let me correct myself. I wrote lyrics quite a few years ago. And Wade and Lee kind of had the little cover band going called Reluctant Harmonies. And they invited me to sing with them. I went up and we started singing covers together. And I don't know. We just kind of got bored of it. And I said, hey, I've got some original stuff. And we started writing. Quinn came into the band as the drummer. And then Chip and Ralph. Quinn and I worked together before I met these guys, so it just kind of worked out.
Awesome. And just to clarify,
Brian, by the way.
Just to clarify for everybody listening. Yeah, just to clarify for everybody listening, that was Brian that was speaking there. So
guys, I'm really interested to know, do y'all have a preference between studio work or performing live?
Oh, definitely performing live. I mean, it's just killer just to get a vibe back from the audience. You know, sometimes the audience is full of just our wives. And sometimes, you know, we have a group full of people that have heard our music. And we have a group of people that haven't heard our music. And it's nice to get, you know, different points of view, different expressions on their faces to the different songs that we're playing that, you know, we wrote together.
Love it. You guys do your live performance really well. So that kind of segues perfectly.
Speaking of your live show, I am all the way up here in Ohio, so I have never had the privilege of seeing you guys live. Tell me a little bit about it.
We've got a bunch of people crammed onto a small stage, usually, but we make it work. I'm the lead singer. This is Brian again. I write the majority of the lyrics. The guys write, you know, the most of the music, and when it just kind of works together, we just mesh really well. So not having to play an instrument on stage allows me the freedom to kind of move around and interact with the guys on stage, interact with the band, interact with the crowd. I love interacting with Quinn on the drums. It's just, we just like to have a lot of fun.
And one of the things that we think that we're kind of unique, you know, nowadays is that we kind of get the three guys up on the front of the stage and we're all singing into the microphones at the end of a lot of the songs. And it just like really has this like powerful vocal effect we're all bringing going together.
Yeah, somehow by the grace of God, our harmonies, the three of us, kind of worked out well together. So it's worked out pretty nice. We kind of I grew up listening to the Eagles. The closest thing you can get to the Eagles nowadays is a band I really love called the Wild Feathers. And the first time Wade and myself and Lee played that song with Quinn, it was just, we realized that we could actually harmonize together. So we just started working on harmonies on original stuff.
Y'all do some homemade harmonies really well. I can attest to that.
Thank you.
What is y'all's favorite part about the writing process? I know you spoke to a little bit about what that process looks like, but what's your favorite aspect of it?
I love it when the guys just start jamming. I mean, when they start grooving together, I have probably 5 or 6 notebooks full of lyrics. And when they start jamming together and I feel something in my heart, it just feels good.
my hand just starts scrolling through the pages until I find lyrics that I feel match the groove of what they're playing. And when we mesh together, like I said, it's killer. We love it. We can't wait to finish the song so that we can take it out in front of people next time we play.
A lot of times, some of the songs that we've played live are songs that we have never completely played in our garage, which is where we practice. And that speaks to our excitement about the stuff that we write. And, you know, and though we may stumble here and there on those types of songs, we don't feel any hesitation to bring that out to the audience. And they just eat it up. They eat it up. They can feel the energy and they can feel the excitement.
That was Wade, by the way. One of the founding members of the East of the Crow.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, when you go to a show like that, that's what you're looking for, is that energy and that fire. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys are bringing it, you know, whether it's stuff you played 100 times or stuff you're playing live for the first time, you guys, sounds like you're just bringing it.
Yeah, I like to say the way we write is kind of, I don't want it to be cheesy, but it's kind of organic. I mean, I write lyrics nonstop. I hope my boss doesn't hear, but I write lyrics at work. I use my voice recorder when I'm driving in my truck. I write lyrics. I make my wife turn on the voice recorder when I'm in the shower. I mean, it's all the time. I always have lyrics stuck in my brain. So when I can bring a new notebook to work to practice and say, hey, I've got all this new stuff, and the guys just, you know, like I said, organically start playing something all together and it fits in with something I've written, it's an amazing feeling.
All right, guys, this next question, it's going to sound like I'm trying to stump you here, but I promise I'm not.
Wade's the problem child in the band. he's like the drama queen. Everything has to be his way. Oh, it's so annoying.
We broke a bit of shit to him. I thought they were going to ask us who the crow was.
And Brian has a drug addiction. Just kidding. There's no drug usage in this band.
There's no drug usage.
Anymore.
We cut this shit out.
Nice. All right, guys, this question, like I said, it's going to sound like I'm trying to stump you, but I'm not. What I'm trying to do is gather what your guys' inspiration individually and collectively is. So with that being said, next question, you can put a dream lineup together. It can be anybody you want, dead or alive, doesn't matter. Who's playing on that bill with you?
For me, it would be, I mean, completely different artists, but Nirvana and Counting Crows. Wade?
For me, it would be System of a Down and Days of the New.
Lee.
I don't know. Maybe Geddy Lee and Jimi Hendrix. Both classic there.
Quinn's in the Texas country. So I know one of them's going to be Cross Canadian Ragweed.
That's about it.
And the Wild Feathers.
Jeff? For sure.
Let's put Zeppelin and James Brown on the same stage.
I'd have to say Carlos Santana and Joe Satriani.
I can feel the Carlos Santana now that you're in the band, yeah.
Nice. That's a hell of a lineup.
And a little bit of Hanson. Just kidding.
He's just referencing his haircut.
Oh, my gosh.
We just lost the bassist tonight.
I love it.
Please not be reluctant harmony by himself.
Real reluctant from one person, I promise.
So, do y'all have any upcoming projects or shows that you want the fans to know about?
We currently have two songs on iTunes and Spotify, and we are in the process of mixing and mastering six more songs that should be out within the next few months. And then Lee books all of our gigs, so I'll let Lee talk about the gigs. I know we've got stuff coming up, but Lee's my calendar person.
Yeah, so we've got three gigs, one a month for the next 3 months. They keep telling me hold back for the album, so that's as light as I can keep it, really. So we're playing a couple shows with Voodoo Logic coming up. It'll do Saloon and then Frontier Saloon in May and June. And then in July, we're actually playing a really different one. We're going to go play the roller derby out at the fairgrounds, and we get to do the pre-show, and then we're going to do the halftime, and I think that's going to be a really cool audience, and maybe we'll sell some merch. Yeah, it's really neat. We always play, you know, when we play in front of a bar, or we play in front of a bar crowd. And to get to go, you know, play in front of a roller derby crowd is going to be really, you know, really different for us. I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be a good opportunity to pick up some new fans that maybe we wouldn't have seen us playing at House of Rock or Surf Club.
That's really cool to broaden that fan base there, like you were saying. And it's cool that you guys are playing with Voodoo Logic, definitely friends of the podcast as well.
Yeah, we've got two shows coming up with them and hopefully some more this summer. I know they're going to be traveling around this summer, and we're hoping to tag along in a couple of them.
And we just played with them the other day.
Yeah, played with them on Saturday?
Well, it was Saturday for us. Friday. But they played both.
Saturday, Friday. Voodoo Logic played from 9 to 10 on Friday, and we played at midnight. But it was a hell of a crowd and a hell of a show. It was a good time. It was a nice little writer's...
Nice little encore presentation.
Like a writer's showcase.
Nice. All right, guys, last question I've got for you. Typically at the end of this show, and what we'll do tonight as well, is we're going to play a track from you guys, and tonight we are going to play Medicine. Won't you tell me a little bit about that track?
Yeah, Medicine is one of our newest songs. We put together once Ralph and Chip came into the band. We kind of finalized everything and got it going and really started flowing. Basically, it's about a guy who got out of a relationship, and he's not scared to put himself out there, but he's scared that she's going to want to come back. And if she wants to come back, he's going to be put in a weird situation. And, you know, like the chorus is, I'm not afraid anymore, but I'm scared to death. And, you know, just kind of two different feelings kind of clashing, you know. Him being hopeful and optimistic and then being scared that, you know, she's going to regret her decision. So he doesn't want to regret his.
All right, guys. Well, definitely everybody listening to this show, you don't have any reason not to. There's no excuses. Listen all the way through. Listen to that track. That is The East and the Crow. Thank you so much for being on with us, guys. Much love, continued success, and you guys have a great night.
Yeah, thank you
very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you at the next show.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Right here on the Alt Review podcast, The East and the Crow. Do not forget, make sure you stay tuned, stick around, listen to their track Medicine. If you don't, Michael will find you, and he will...
Annoy you.
He has a special set of skills that he has acquired over many years of being a younger brother.
Yes. I'm very skilled.
Especially in the annoying you department.
I have a PhD in that.
I think that's what your double masters were, Dr. Dr. Bug the Shit Out of You.
Right. Love it.
All right, homie. Reviews this week. We reviewed three... you reviewed three albums because... I suck at my job.
You listen to him.
Briefly. That last one, I didn't really listen to all of it. I'm be honest with you. You lost me.
We can talk about that. Let's get to the first one.
All right. The Winnetka Bowling League. You almost got me right there. Winnetka Bowling League. Cloudy with a Chance of Sun. I have too many kids for that title. I almost said Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
I'm telling you, man, the Winnetka, between the Winnetka Bowling League and...
That was a hard lit sentence for me right there. That whole thing was difficult. Like, there's a city in Ohio called Wapakoneta.
Some times where I have to YouTube band names and pronunciations of people's names just to make sure I'm, like, saying it correctly. And this was one of those times.
Yes. I mean, there's just too much going on right there. Like, there's the city Wapakoneta in Ohio, and then I'm in bowling leagues, and then, you know, Cloudy with a Chance of Sun, but my kids watch the movies Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It was too much for me.
It was a lot. But back to the album. So this one was probably, if I have to say, was probably my favorite of the three that we have tonight. Just really good... you know, no frills indie music with good vocals. good guitar all the way throughout. It wasn't particularly long. It's an EP, so, you know, you get what you pay for there. I think it's something that is another positive development for this band. This band's kind of come out of nowhere a little bit. I remember one of the first times since I started doing this for Alt Review, I get a lot of emails about bands and asking me to publicize information about bands and stuff like that. And Winnetka Bowling League was one of the bands that I got an email about a long, long time ago. Probably one of the first bands I got an email about, you know, because it's almost been a year since we've been doing this. And I just remember thinking, I get so many of these, I don't get a chance to get to all of them because I'm only one person. So I just remember that one stuck out to me because I'm like, man, that name is really unique. But anyway, they've kind of exceeded expectations, I think, and have kind of popped out in a big way. And I think that this EP kind of continues that.
What'd you give it on a rating, brother?
I gave it 4 out of 5.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was... Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I'm not really my style, but... I mean, it wasn't like some of the other stuff we listened to this evening that... Apparently, we'll get into what was said and what happened and all that when we get there, but apparently...
We have to talk about my conversation with you, our conversation about your face.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
so
okay, I'm just making sure we're on the same page.
Yes, yeah. Moving on to local natives, Violet Street.
So, I wanted to like this album. It had all the good elements. Fantastic vocals. Duke can flat out sing. Just... hitting those falsettos. There was a couple of them, like when we were listening to it, you and I looked up at one another like, whoa, and hitting those high notes like something fierce. But I don't know, it just, something about this album was just kind of, it was kind of there. It just didn't pop to me, I guess, if that makes sense.
It was just kind of meh.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. It was just that it was... it was just, everything was fine. It just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's fine, but it's not fine. You know, where you're like, how are you? I'm like, fine.
Right.
You're not. It was like that. I mean, it was a good effort. I think that, you know, it's just a decent album, but there wasn't anything that any moment that I can remember from any one particular song where I was like, oh, except for the part on I can't remember the name of the track, where he hits that really, really high falsetto and you and I looked at each other. Outside of that, though, and that was one moment, but outside of that, it really wasn't anything that stood out to me as, you know, big time.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I very easily got lost in doing other things here in the studio while the album was playing.
Same. Like, the first time I listened to it, I was at work, and just kind of, I like to give the albums kind of like a listen just to get, like, what it's about, and not, I just like to be with the album, if that makes sense. And not really poke at it on my first listen. And I found myself doing other things the same way you were.
Yeah, I was in here taking notes on things and just kind of doing show prep, and I just kind of got lost in, yeah, there's music playing. But there's supposed to be music playing when you're in a studio. What did you give that one?
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
3, yeah. I'm kind of meh.
Right.
All right, moving on to Cage the Elephant. This album was called Social Cues, and this album, again, I was here in the studio doing show prep and working, and I wish I could say that this album just kind of got lost as background noise. It did not.
You looked visibly upset while you were listening to this album.
I wasn't upset. I mean,
you looked disturbed.
Like, I was done. I was done. I think the word you said when you actually said it was defeated, and that kind of fit. Like, I was done. Yeah. I lost. Okay.
That was it. You just looked like you were just so over it. You're just like, just take it already. Just.
Yeah, I was done. I was. And I believe it was at that point when you said, damn, there's three more songs. And then I was more done.
And the thing was, is I looked at that album and I'm like, oh my God, this album is like an eternity long. And then I counted the tracks and it was only 13 songs. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It felt like there were 30.
Right. Yeah, it did. It did, because like I said, it's one thing when it's in the background and you know, I mean, and you're doing other things and it gets lost there. But when you're doing other things and it's just annoying you, that's kind of where I was with this album. It was just kind of annoying me while I was trying to get show prep and that stuff done, and it just kept going, and you kept playing another one, and I kept thinking, oh, this got to be the last one, and then you played another one, and I'm like, that's where the defeated look came from when you looked at me.
And then the bad thing was I didn't even play him for you all the way through. Like, I got him like, so you got a good sense of the song, and then it was like, let's keep it rolling, let's keep it moving.
Honestly, most of those songs on there, you could have played about the first 45 seconds to a minute, and I knew where I was at with them.
That's about what I did, because they're all about 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. It was like, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I've only played a minute of this song. I'm like, oh, it's only 2 minutes and 10 seconds long.
Oh, felt a lot longer than that.
Days.
Days. Just get it over with. What'd you give this one, brother?
Oh, two and a half.
Two and a half? That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I probably would have been a little harder on it, to be honest with you. It just...
There was a couple on it. Like, the one with Beck was good.
That track was good. I enjoyed that one. I remember when we reviewed that one just by itself. And, yeah, that was a good track.
There was a couple of them that were okay. But, like, maybe, like, four of them. Which, like, 4 of 13 ain't good.
Right. So. Well, I mean, I guess it depends. Because 4 out of every 13, if you're a major league hitter, you're probably going to get in the hall.
yeah, but I mean, I don't know if the same applies to music.
I don't think so.
No, I don't either. I think that gets you to be like band The Extreme.
Right. You're not right. You'll be classified with Ariana Grande for Michael forever.
Oh, I'm not a hater. I just don't start.
You listen.
Genuinely don't know.
Just be honest. You are a hater on that one. You can be honest. Like, I will readily admit right here tonight, for the first time since we started doing this show back in October, I will readily admit the Nirvana thing is my fault. I did that to you. I will admit that. This Ariana Grande one was all you. You brought that up. You lit that fire, and I just threw gas at it.
It's not hate, it's indifference.
Nah, yeah, I can see that. No, for me, it's not indifference. I'm turning this shit off.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it off. Like, I'm not going to sit there and subject myself to that, but...
All right.
But, I mean, if I'm in a public space and it's playing, like, I'm not going to get up and walk out.
I might.
It depends on where I am. Like, if I'm in a restaurant, like, and I'm eating, like, I already ordered. Did I already order? If I already ordered, like, but if I didn't order yet, maybe.
Look, even if you already ordered, they ain't got your credit card yet.
That's food. Cold, dude. That's cold. I'm going to leave some chef and some server high and dry.
Mad as hell. Like, where'd that guy go?
didn't even dine, just dashed.
You got that messed up, man. Can't dine and dash, just dash.
Screwed it up.
All right, man, moving on to our feature of the week. We're bringing you another My Musical Life, if you remember when we interviewed our own Nick LaTorre a few weeks ago regarding his musical life. Today, we are going to bring back a repeat guest, and I'm so happy to welcome Randy the Rock Doc. What's going on, brother?
Hey, not a whole lot, man. How are you?
Fantastic. Michael, this is your brainchild, my man. Go with it.
All right. I'm super excited. So, Randy, tell me, what was the first artist or band you remember clinging to as your earliest musical influence?
Oh, man. First big one probably would have been Public Enemy. I think I might be warping that a little bit, but I just gave a talk about inclusivity and to a group the other day, and we were talking about. So I grew up in a small town, and I was like the only Indian kid, and actually the only minority kid in my class. Well, there's one other minority kid, but when you're different, when you're not white, and you grew up in a extremely white school, sometimes things happen and you need like some sort of solace and nobody else can give it to you. And so I think Public Enemy was probably the first real band I really took on and I really fell in love with. So yeah, that's where that started.
Alrighty, I get the feeling that this is going to take a very wide path, too, from...
It absolutely is.
Yeah, just from the conversation we had with your interview before, and then hearing Public Enemy, I feel like we're going to take a very wide path here, and that's fantastic. Who stuck out to you getting up into your teen high school years?
Well, again, kind of following the same path, there's a lot of like Public Enemy and just a lot of hip hop. And then as I got into a little bit older, and we've talked about this before, there were a lot of bands in Dayton that were, and I guess I should say in general, southwestern Ohio that started doing things and became popular and became kind of a little bit more, I won't say mainstream, but noticeable. So it was like, you know, Afghan Whigs, Guided by Voices for sure, The Breeders, Brainiac, these are all bands from Dayton, Belly, who, Tanya Donnelly was a part of The Breeders at some point in time. Those are probably the, off the top of my head, the biggest, early on, late high school. Yeah, for sure.
Those are some fantastic bands there. Love the Afghan Whigs, especially. Just saw them in concert last year. Yeah, last year they were fantastic. With
yeah. Them well.
So, yeah, good times. So what about college or early adulthood? Did you have any shift there?
You know, I think in early college, I was still like, at that point, I was actually kind of like tight with Guided by Voices. So a lot of the bands that they were working with, not working with, on their same label and touring with were bands I was kind of into. So there's a lot of, Chavez, Cat Power was there. I'm trying to think who I really. College was kind of weird because, like, you know, you had all those kind of the same bands, and you didn't have money to go travel to go see bands. So, Afghan Whigs were, of course, still around and getting bigger, and then just like local bands, of course, still Brainiac. Helen Maggie, I'm trying to think if there's anybody that I really went out of the way to go see. I think there was a little dip into, like, a little bit of alt country, a little bit of, like, Sunvolt, Wilco. That'd probably be, I think, the extent of it, really. I mean, well, of course, still kind of going on with the hip-hop end of it. Fugees, that was when Smoking Roots tour kind of happened. So, like, Fugees, Tribe Called Quest, a little bit of Nas in there, too, for sure.
Once you got out of college and up until, you know, and through starting the Rock Doc thing, where were mm-hmm. you, where were you, who were you listening to then?
You know, it was all, a lot of that was just based on radio that I had access to. So, then we started shifting into like Silver Sun pickups. Arcade Fire. I'm trying to think who I went to see. And who was excited, who I was really excited to see. There was some pickups, Arcade Fire. Gnarls Barkley, later. I really thought they were a lot of fun for me. That's a tough question because that's a long span. There's some bands that came in and came out. Of course, later Foles, like Foles a lot, still do. My Morning Jacket. My Morning Jacket were a band that I really, really somehow latched onto, and I don't know why, but they've become a band that I really have always had just gone to see every chance I get. Pearl Jam's definitely in the mix, too. And they kind of had that span from high school through that is a big arc with Pearl Jam. I see that every chance I get.
Who's on your playlist now? Who are you listening to regularly now?
Boy, I'll tell you. I saw Mitski about a month ago, and she's been great. Sharon Van Etten is definitely on my list right now. The new Cage the Elephant, the new album is fantastic. Looking forward to the new National album coming out. I think it's going to be pretty great. I think that's really what's really on my playlist right now. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Of course, always Jay-Z. I mean, Jay-Z kind of stuck in there at some point in time. He's always on there. I think those are the things I'm really, really, and Folds, the new Folds was great too. I think that's really where I'm at. I think there's a local band here in Columbus, Ohio, Bummers, that have a new album out. I just saw them do the release party on Saturday night, and it sounded great. So I'm really excited to listen to that. I don't know. There's a whole lot else right now that's kind of rocking my world. I could be missing some things without thinking about it, but, you know, I think the new Cage the Elephant and the new Sharon Van Etten are the two big things that are probably heavy in my Mitski are really, really big on my playlist right now.
That's really cool. And like I said, it seemed like there was a very broad spectrum because I'm much the same way. Like I will listen to, you know, if they had a radio, and that's kind of mm-hmm. why I like, there's a radio station here in Columbus and it's called Jack FM and they actually say on there, we play what we want. And
yeah,
when that station first started, the first two songs that station played were by Sir Mix-a-Lot and then Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's more of a, I think Jack was probably, I think the iHeart station. You know, we've got CD 125. Brilliant. They've broken so many artists over the last 25, 26 years. They're really, I mean, I know that you've got a broad listenership. Just check them out, the CD125.com playlist. I mean, they're always breaking bands. And so there are always bands on there that are great. They just had their annual show, but it was like Bowls and Blue Stones were on there too. It's just changing so much. You know, radio is hard because we don't rely on that, because it's with the internet and having so many bands that are able to break through, you know, Spotify and whatever else, it changes the game a lot. White Reaper. Going backwards, White Reaper, I love that band. They should, assuming, have a new album out soon, based on their social media has ramped up in the last few months. White Reaper is a band that is just phenomenal, and they're just so good. They're great to see live. I mean, I would never pass up an opportunity to see White Reaper.
There you have it from Randy the Rock Doc himself. Go see White Reaper if you get a chance.
I want to
go see White Reaper. Absolutely.
I want to echo Randy's sentiment on CD 102.5. They've actually had a couple of bands that we've interviewed on in their big room. The Blue Stones was one that we interviewed. Yeah. And then Culture Wars was another one that we interviewed that they had come on in their big room, and definitely got big time love for CD 102.5.
Yeah, I mean, that station does a really good job of kind of picking up some bands that are making some trembles, but they've broken a lot of bands, and that's it's something that the industry has really paid attention to, and all those bands will become bigger things and are really great about coming back and you know, showing their appreciation for that. Going forward, I would say, you know, in the next few months, I'm really excited to see what happens with the new Black Keys album. The singles they've put out thus far have been really good. I think it's going to be a great album. I was a little off put by, you know, they announced a tour and the ticket prices were a little bit ridiculous, but, you know, we'll see. But I'm sure that's going to be great too.
Yeah, and they have Modest Mouse opening for them, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and of course, I've got a good friendship with the Wombats, and yeah, they're probably on a little bit of a break right now. But you know, the Wombats are another band that I met through 102.5, and you know, of course, Anthony put out, you know, it's always solid.
Most definitely. They're fantastic live. Love them.
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've just kind of been super busy and lost out on some things recently, but, you know, I like I said, I really, really like the new Mitski, the new Sharon Bennett, and the new Cage Elephant are things that are just really heavy on my playlist right now.
Cool. Well, we appreciate the time, Randy. Still, the single greatest story ever told on this podcast. You hold that title.
Oh, what's that?
The Volcano.
Oh, yeah, the Volcano is just, that whole thing is, you know, it's just, an event that nobody that was there will ever forget. And I think it's really cool. The cool thing is, like, everybody that was there knows what would happen. Like, I could, you know, running into Chino, I could run into Chino from Deftones and just, you know, say, oh yeah, we met each other in the Volcano. And like, he just takes a second and pictures it and goes, yeah, we did. You know, and that's pretty awesome.
If you haven't heard that story, go back and listen to episode 13. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yes, it was a great story. All right, Randy, thank you so much for your time.
Hey.
We appreciate you, and we will be in touch, sir. Have a wonderful night.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime, my friend. It's great talking to you. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
Take care.
Bye.
There you go. Randy the Rock Doc right here on the Alt Review Podcast. His musical life all laid out for you to get to know Mr. Randy.
we're going to keep doing these. And who knows, maybe one day we'll like select a winner and bring them on and do their musical life.
There you go. Make it a contest.
Right. And you all can come on here and your voices can be on the podcast.
Yeah. They're tired of hearing my voice on the podcast.
Mine too.
Took them longer to get tired of you though. All right, brother, moving on to highlight the site. I actually had a little surprise for you that I could have let you in with earlier, but I didn't.
What's that?
My highlight the site tonight is All That Glitters Is Gold, written by the one, the only Michael LaTorre. And he highlighted Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones. I was not even soliciting information. I was actually in a bowling tournament out in Dayton this weekend, and I was approached by someone that listens to this show and reads the content on altreview.com and said, "Hey, I want you to tell Michael that that was a great article he did, All That Glitters Is Gold." And I said, "Oh yeah, what did you like about it?" He goes, "Well," and he told me all of these things. There's only thing he disagreed with is he said that maybe there are other bands who, and this is a quote, so don't slap me with an explicit tag, Spotify, that play the shit out of their instruments a little bit more. So, look, I'm not getting in the middle of nobody's damn fight. Go read it. Altreview.com, All That Glitters Is Gold, Michael LaTorre.
That was a child, like a brainchild of just pure love. I love that album. So it was fun writing it, and I'm glad to hear that someone enjoyed it. So I'm switching gears a little bit from what's on the outline, because I want to talk about an advanced review that came out today, on Monday. So what, but, it's by an artist called Fiona, and the album's called Silver. And, you know, I'm not going to delve too much into my rating or anything like that, but just really solid, like vocals and like tight music. And, I really dug that album, and it's just something that's very like, when I got it, I started listening to it and I was like, this is very different than anything I've heard in a while. And I was really excited about that. So you should get really excited about that too. The album comes out this Friday, May the 3rd. So you should check out the album when it drops. Comes out on Labrador Records. That's Fiona, spelled P-H-E-E-Y-O-W-N-A-H, Fiona, like phonetically. So just so you know, if you're looking for it.
Do not spell it F-I-O-N-A.
Yeah,
You ain't getting there.
You ain't going to find it.
Yeah, it's
so not. Just so you know. But she has some stuff on Spotify already you can check out, and other streaming services. So check it out. Her stuff's really cool. It's got kind of like a /R&B vibe to it. It's really good.
Awesome. Well, we are up against it on time already. These things fly by more and more every week. Seems like we just hit the record button. Now here we are getting ready to hit the stop button. Thank you so much for taking the time. I am GP. That is Mike LaTorre. We are Alt Review. Be good or be good at it. We are out.
All things alt, always.
Addicted to the medicine, I just like the way it tastes. I'm blocking memories, getting high again to forget that pretty face. I can't believe how hard we fell in love. trail to Tennessee. It was your first taste of whiskey. I'm not afraid anymore, but baby, I'm scared to death. And if I go out looking for another love, one day you might regret the decision you made to leave me this way and wander back through my door, only to find me happy again and leave you wishing one decision you made to leave me this way and wander back through my door, only to find me happy again and leave you wishing one more. Nightmares every day. I'm not addicted to the medicine. I just like the way it tastes. I like the way it tastes.